This is a Chazara Shir for the Halacha Yomit group, learning Mishnah Berurah, beginning with Simen Yud Gimel. The Limud should be as a Refuah Shleima for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya. We'll start with Simen Yud Gimel. Se'if Aleph Arba Tzitzios Me'akvin Zed Zesh, Shekol Zman She'in Ba'kola Arba, Einim Tzitzios Ke'Hilchasa. All four tzitzis, all four strings, all four, or four corners must have tzitzis on them, otherwise the mitzvah is not fulfilled. Vayotz Va'lushot HaRab Mishabes Chayav Chatas. And if you don't have all four strings on the Beged, then if you have fewer than that, you are not Yotz of the mitzvah, and therefore if you wear such a talis outside on Shabbos in a place where there is no Erev, you are Chayav Chatas. The Mishnah Berurah explains that the strings, those additional strings, because there is no mitzvah, are considered to be a masa, are considered to be an unnecessary item that you are carrying on Shabbos. And since you are not fulfilling a mitzvah with those strings, you are carrying them for no purpose. Carrying on Shabbos in the Makom that there is no Erev is an Isser D'Oraisa. Points out if it's in a Carmelis, it's a place that's only not permitted to carry Midrabanan, so then you would violate an Isser D'Rabanan. Why the kosher tzitzis are considered to be batal to the beged because you want them there l'shei mitzvah, but these are pasul tzitzis, and therefore wearing them on a beged on Shabbos in a place where there is no eruv is considered to be carrying and is a Torah violation. If a beged does in fact have tzitzis on all four corners as it is necessary, you may wear it outside on Shabbos even when there is no eruv. A feel of bein talit kadam bein talit gadol, regardless of the size. A feel of bezman hazesh in lanu tchelus. Even though we have no tchelus, and therefore the mitzvah is not being mekuyam bishle musa. It seems to be the Shulchan Aruch is comparing the fact that all four corners must have strings. That is one mitzvah to have all four there. And if you do not have all four, you do not fulfill the mitzvah at all. Ma she'in kein tchelas and lavan, which we hold a tchelas einam akavet es halavan, va'alavan einam akavet a tchelas. They are separate components of the mitzvah. And therefore, even if you are missing one or the other, you are not in violation of the Issur D'Oraisa of carrying on Shabbos, because they are separate parts of that mitzvah. And the Mishnah points out, you can even wear it at night when there is no mitzvah tzitzis whatsoever, because we consider kosher strings on a beged to be noi hula beged, and it's not considered carrying, and therefore it is permissible. The Rama is on actually a munach lal ktef. If you have to wear the talis properly, you can't be wearing it in an inappropriate way, because that would be carrying the whole entire beged. Rama writes, we assume that once you've checked the beged in the morning, you check it once, you don't have to check it each time right before you go out for Shabbos, you can assume that the tzitzis are still there. Mishnah Berurah points out, you see that when you wear a beged in the Shabbos morning, you should check it. He says the Olam is not nizhar in such a thing. The Olam is not careful about such a thing. And the Beir Halachi writes, maybe that's because, well, what are you going to do if you find it puzzle? Of course, because according to the Ramah, it might be permissible to wear a talis in even that isn't mitzvah, it doesn't have proper tzitzis on it on Shabbos in the Makom, that a person will be embarrassed. He goes through different points there in the Mishnah, in the Beir Halacha. Gimel. If a person is standing in a Carmel, it's a place where it's usher to carry Midrabanan, and there is no Eruv. It's important to point out that anywhere that there is an Eruv, if that Eruv were to be down, that area is considered to be a Carmelis, an area that is only forbidden to carry Midrabanan. Because in that area was a Rosh Hashanah, where it's forbidden to carry Midoraisa, then what we traditionally call an Eruv, meaning it's Rosh HaPesach around, will not suffice. So if somebody is in a Carmelis, a place that could have had an Eruv, but does not, and the person realizes that the talis that he is wearing is pasul, he should not remove it until he gets home. The Gadol Kavod Abrios, the assumption is that removing that talis would be embarrassing for him, and therefore he does not have to do it because of Kavod HaBrios. The Mishnah Berurah points out that it's Doche the Isser D'Rabbanan. Here there is no Isser D'Oraisa, because the Torah never said, do not wear a beged that does not have a four-cornered beged that does not have tzitzis on all four corners. Rather, it said, when you have a four-cornered beged, put tzitzis on all four corners, and therefore it's not strictly a Torah prohibition. Mishnah Berurah points out, though, however, in the Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, so when the prohibition is a real prohibition D'Oraisa to carry, then you would, in fact, have to remove it, whether a talis gadol or whether a talis katan. He also points out that relying on the previous simon on yud beis, if the strings are cut, so we normally are machmir like Rashi that we require a kadei aniva of the strings enough to make a knot after the gadol, meaning after the wrapping part from the strings, the loose part at the end. However, according to the re, even if there's enough in the gadol to make a kadei aniva, and there's not enough free string, we generally don't rely on the re. But he says for Shabbos purposes, you cannot rely on the re. And you do not have to remove the talis in the Rishus Harabim. He points out that even nowadays, where it's not so embarrassing not to remove the talis, because we only wear it for davening purposes, and the person is not going to be undressed if he removes a talis gadol from him. Nonetheless, He's allowed to continue wearing it in a Carmel is because Lopluga Rabbanon, and they allowed it to remain on. The Rambam adds on, Vafilo Talas Katan, Shtakatachas Tachas Begodov, Ain Sarach Lipshot, even if Talas Katan, you do not have to remove. Vuad in Imnifsak Echad Minatsitsios, Misbayas, Vilot, Vafilo, at the moment. He says, Talas Katan, you don't have to remove, because, even though no one's going to notice that you're not wearing it, because the removal of it is highly embarrassing to do so in public, and therefore it's not necessary. The Rambam adds on, a person realizes that one of his tzitzis is missing, and he's now doesn't want to sit without a talis. He realizes, Mr. Brewer points out, he realizes before he even puts it on, but he's in shul, and he doesn't have a talis, and he's embarrassed to sit in shul without a talis. He's allowed to put that talis on without a bracha. It all depends on the level of embarrassment that person might have. But that would be permissible. And the Ramayan continues, Vidavka b'Shabbos, Asur l'asos tzitzis, but b'chol k'haygav na'asur. He says, this only leniency applies on Shabbos, because what are you going to do? You can't fix the tzitzis on Shabbos. That would be a Torah prohibition to fix the tzitzis on Shabbos. And therefore, you're stuck with the talus as it currently is. But on chol, you have the option to fix those tzitzis. And therefore, none of these leniencies should apply, because you can fix the tzitzis. He therefore goes back and forth. What should a person do about nowadays removing the talus? Is a gnai? It's not a gnai. Is embarrassing? It's not embarrassing. So the person is in such a situation where he doesn't know what to do. He can be mafkir the talus that he's wearing. It's no longer mine, and therefore does not require tzitzis. And therefore, if I am wearing it, I am not in violation because it is not my garment. If it is not my garment, it doesn't require tzitzis, and therefore I may continue to be wearing it. He doesn't answer though. If it's not my garment and I'm currently wearing it, and it only has three, it has puzzled tzitzis in one of the corners. Even though it's not my garment and doesn't require tzitzis, what about the status of those extra strings that are not chayav tzitzis, but are not mitzvah tzitzis that are hanging on from the corners? What about them? Why is that not considered to be a masoi? We'll leave that as a tzarech in. Moving on to Simon Yud Dalet. Dinei tzitzis shasan eino yehudi v'nashim v'talis she'ula. Seif alef tzitzis shasan eino yehudi pasul. If tzitzis that are not only not made by a non-Jew, we talked about that previously, when the shazira or the tevia has to be made by Israel. We're talking about the tliya babeged, hanging them on the string, on the beged itself, needs to be made by a Jew. Dechsev, daber el v'nei Yisrael, afuka eino yehudi. They learn it from a pasuk. It requires a Jew to be tola in the beged, to be hanging them from the beged. V'yish aksher el asos. And a woman, although she's not obligated in tzitzis, she is part of Nei Yisrael, and therefore she may put on the tzitzis on the beged, and that's fine. The Mishnah points out that the main part of tzitzis is the knot, and then the first chulia around it, the first wrapping around it. As long as the Jew does that part, the rest can be done by anybody at all, and that would be fine. He says there are those who are machmir dafka to have men do it because they are the ones who are obligated in tzitzis, and therefore, if possible, it's best to do it. The question, what about children? What about children? Can a child make tzitzis? And we assume that it's best not to. Although the Malbim was makel, this comes up often with bar mitzvah boys who want to make their tzitzis before their bar mitzvah, and they're below bar mitzvah before they make it and want to wear the tzitzis after bar mitzvah. It seems, according to this, that it would be a problem. If a person put the tzitzis into the beged, he was told in them in the beged below kavana. He didn't do it for the purpose of the mitzvah tzitzis. Unclear what he was thinking. The Rambam writes that the kliya in the beged does not require to be bekavana, and therefore we can rely on the Rambam that these tzitzis are kosher to wear them. That's if he puts them through the beged and ties them, shelo l'shem mitzvah. We allow it, again, that allow the person to wear, but we do not allow him to make a bracha, because according to Tosfos and other Rishonim, even that part needs to be done bekavana, and therefore we won't make a bracha just to rely on the Rambam. We'll allow you to wear that talis, relying on the opinion of the Rambam. Mishnah Berurah points out, before you put it, the tola in the beged, before you make the kesher, a person should say, or they should say out loud, I am hereby doing this l'shem mitzvahs tzitzis. Siv Gimel. Hashol nachaver talish ena mitzuyas. Es poter milahatil bat tzitzis kol shloshim yom. You borrow a four-cornered garment from your friend, you are putter from putting tzitzis in it for 30 days. It's not your garment, even though you are wearing it, you are putter from putting tzitzis in that, because a talis she'ula is not chayav in tzitzis. Dichsid kesus chav velo shalach erim. It's exeris akasov in the pasuk. Aval achar shloshim yom chayv midrabanim nishan nireis keshelo. But after 30 days, even though it's still not mine, I'm still borrowing it midrabanim. They said if you own something for more than 30 days, it looks like marasayin that it now belongs to me, and therefore midrabanim, a person is chayv to put tzitzis on such a beged. Mishnah Berurah points out that let's say I have such a beged that it does fork on a garment that I'm borrowing from my friend does not have tzitzis. He says, V'amadil batzitzim mevarech lehivsit. So if you want, you could put strings on it and make a bracha, and that would be fine. Just like women who may make a bracha that mitzvah seisha as mangrama, such as hearing shofar sitting in a sukkah, women are exempt from doing it. But if they choose to opt in, they may make such a bracha. The Halacha Berurah of Rabbi Yosef points out that this is actually a machlokas and two different opinions in Tosfos and Menachos and others, other places, whether this comparison to women in a mitzvah seis man grama is accurate or not. It seems like this is no better than the case of women making a bracha on a mitzvah seis man grama on shofar or a sukkah. If so, then it would depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam, whether a woman is actually allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah seis man grama, such as shofar and sukkah and lulav. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, she does, and according to the Rambam, she does not. According to the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, women, in fact, do not make a bracha on a mitzvah to say shehazman grama, and only according to the Rama, relying on the Rabbeinu Tam, may women make a bracha on a mitzvah to say shehazman grama. Seems to be reliant on the same type of a machlokas. Is the bracha levatal an iser d'araisa or an iser d'rabban? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only an iser d'rabban. According to the Rambam, it is an iser d'araisa. Maybe that plays into the same role. Why women do not make a bracha on mitzvah to say shehazman grama according to the Rambam, but may do so according to the Rabbeinu Tam. If so, the Halacha Berurah points out, and this is the Ma'amar Mordechai already said on the Shulchan Aruch, that this psak of the Mishnah Berurah would not apply to Sfaradim. Meaning, if a Sfaradi person borrowed a talis from his friend, a four-cornered garment that did not have tzitzis on it, and he put tzitzis on it, he may not make a bracha on that beged, because it's not chayiv, just like women do not make a bracha on a lulav if they shake it, or they sit in a sukkah by the corner of the chaber for Sfaradi women. So too, a man who borrowed a four-cornered garment from his friend and put tzitzis on it does not make a bracha, because it is not his. The Ramah continues, borrowing it requires 30 days in a row, because that's only when the Maris Ayin sets in. So if you borrow it for 10 days, and then 10 days, and then 10 days, and there's a break in between, it does not look like yours, and therefore it's not necessary. If you borrow a talis from your friend that already has tzitzit on it, you may make a bracha on it immediately. Now, why should that be? It's already a talis, it's still a talis she'ula, and therefore it's still not mine. Why may I now make a bracha on it? So the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are those who say no. You should not do that unless he gives it to you b'matana for the purpose that you should own it. And if I own it, therefore I may make a bracha on it. And he says, if you're the talis, then the person presumably gave it to you for the purpose of wearing it and making a bracha of l'tzitzis on it. Why else would he be lending it to you? So since he wants you to use it for the purpose of a mitzvah, presumably he had in mind that you should own it for that period of time. And therefore, he says, l'chatchila, a person should, when borrowing a talis, you should ask, it should be a matana al ma'as l'hachsir. I should own it for the time that I have it, so that it should be mine. So I should be chayav and therefore I can make a bracha on it. He points out, but if it's only just to get an aliyah, or to be the chasen, or to do birkas kohanim, so he might just give it to you for that purpose of being of kavod, and not that you should own it. He says, and therefore ein mevarchin alav, unless it was explicit that I should own it for that time. So he says the best thing to do, the derech chayim, Rebbe Yaakov Melisa and the Sivis writes, it's best to have in mind not to own it in any of these circumstances, so that it would not come into a question of whether I have to make a bracha or not, but it will be certain that I do not have to make a bracha, and therefore I don't make a bracha in any of these situations. This is different when you're borrowing a talis as opposed to a talis shel kahal, meaning the shul's talisim. The shul's talisim are there for every single person to use for the purpose that while they use it, it should be theirs, and therefore they may make a bracha on such a talis. It's similar to an esrog that's owned by the community as well. Mr. Burr points out two important caveats at the end. If it's a matan al-asal haqsir, you have to return it to him at the right time. And if you don't, return it to the person who borrowed it. If it's a matan al-asal haqsir, meaning it's mine for the time being that I'm wearing it, and I have to return it afterwards. If I don't return it, it turns out that I never fulfilled the original condition that it was given to me. It was given to me to be mine on condition that I return it later. If I don't return it later, it turns out that previously it was not mine. While it was not mine, therefore, it was not mine. Therefore, I was not obligated in it. Therefore, I did not fulfill the mitzvah, and my bracha may be a bracha levatala. He also points out that if the talis gets ruined while I am wearing it, or something happens to it, and I do not return it in the same manner in which it was given to me, I'm also not yotzei the mitzvah, because I did not fulfill the condition that I originally set out to make the talis mine. Remember, I only got the talis to be mine on the condition that I shall return it in the same state that I borrowed it in. If I did not return it in the same state that I borrowed it in, it turns out that retroactively the talis was never mine. If the talis was never mine, I never fulfilled the mitzvah. If I never fulfilled the mitzvah, I should never have made a bracha, and my bracha could possibly be a bracha levatala. Have a wonderful week.